Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. Mm-hmm. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I've told a story about me being a shitty friend and selling my friend up the river when it came to my parents finding pornography. But I don't always do that to my friends.
You're very selective in the friends.
Yeah, I'm selective in who I betray. I'm not a Lannister just betraying everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm very selective. So there was a time I defended one of my friends who had done something clearly very bad to my parents.
What did he do?
Well, my friend Matt.
Matt Barger.
My friend Matt Barger.
You're about to tell a story. He doesn't know yet.
We met was a long time ago, Matt Barger. But we were friends at elementary school into middle school. And in sixth grade, he kind of had, I know that he had like ADD and ADHD, and he was on a lot of medications. He had like impulse control issues.
And when was this?
Sixth grade.
So that was a little while ago. It must have been pretty serious because they weren't like heavily medicating children back mm-hmm. then.
They'd call you to the office and you might take some pills, but yeah, it wasn't like a huge. So I don't think his issues really been brought under control. But we were good friends, and he was sitting in sixth grade. It's also where I met Josh. Matt sat in front of me and Josh sat beside me. It was a pretty good year other than this. And what was it? I was sitting behind him and I was just like poking him with my foot.
This Matt guy.
Well, I'm poking Matt with my foot. And he just flipped the fuck out. Cause I poke. I hear him. He's the kind of guy who, when he would get mad, he would do like the comical, like, what's that giant rooster from Looney Tunes?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah. Like he would like wind up his arm. Yeah, it was, I mean, full tilt, like ridiculous. Like emulate, because back then you watch cartoons, you fucking emulate cartoons. That's what he would do when he get mad. So he does like this kind of thing whenever I'm poking my foot. He turns around. He's got an eagle, freshly sharpened eagle lead pencil. Like the wood, not like lead mechanic, not a mechanic pencil.
Right.
Old fashioned pencil.
I know what an eagle pencil is.
He flips around and just stabs me with it.
Where did he stab you?
My hand. My right hand is on my desk. And he just turns around and just, and you can hear the pencil like hit the other side and withdraws. It's harder to see now, but I still have a scar in my hand.
Like, what do you mean you could hear it hit the other side?
Like, you heard the chunk.
Like it went through your damn hand.
It went through and like it must have hit bone or something. Like it, you remember? I remember that. Just could hear that when it hit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't hard enough for him to. So it was just. It was pretty awful.
And like that's what it sounds
he
like.
He pulls
it,
back and then just flips back around and like I'm just in shock. I don't know what to do. So I go to the bathroom and I wash it off. A just visible hole in my hand. Like I put a bandaid over it, and over the next few days, it just started swelling like bigger and bigger and bigger. Like there was no hiding it. Like my hand was like double.
Well, it's probably getting infected.
Yeah, it was double in size.
As much as you masturbated, I mean, it was
left-handed, so I was safe. And I remember my parents were like, "What happened to your hand?" I don't want to get him in trouble. I knew he had issues. We were still friends.
Yeah.
I knew they'd flip out. So like,
and stab you again.
They're like, "What happened to her?" I don't know what. Or does it look like it happened? Looks like a spider bite. I bet it was a spider bite. So like, I have to go like this.
There must have been one big fucking spider.
Huge fucking spider. And then like, yeah, because I show them where it is, and they know some nurse at church, and she goes and she looks at it, and she agrees it's probably a spider bite.
And let's not disclose her name, all right?
So I don't even remember her name.
It doesn't matter. She works at Dairy Queen now. Not that there's anything wrong with working at Dairy Queen, but, you know, if you're a church nurse, then that's kind of a step down.
But she goes, like, I remember she said I should take a few pills and then soak it in Epsom salt, and, like, in a few weeks it goes away. But, like, I just set on that secret because I don't want to get him in trouble. He eventually, like, he apologized for it. We were still friends. Everything was fine until it's like 2 months after that. He's covered over his desk and he's talking to Josh about something. And as he goes to sit down, I just pulled his desk out from underneath him, and he flopped on his butt, and I just saw his face just, he just went Super Saiyan, like, right then. Just, and he jumps up and then he just haymaker. I just did not expect it. He just full back and hit me as hard as he could in the face.
Why did you do that to him?
I don't know.
I'm not going to sit here and say you didn't deserve that.
I don't think I deserved a punch in the face, but I deserved the what the fuck? Or
I don't know, Tyler. Man. That shit hurts.
He stabbed me. I had to come.
Yes, I think he overreacted stabbing you because you were poking him. However, you don't pull a guy's chair out from underneath him. Come on, man.
But it was a huge, I mean, he hit me and then the teacher jumped in.
He started hitting you?
And then the nurse
from church showed up. She started hitting you.
Looks at my face. It's clearly a spider bite. So yeah, then we're not friends after that, because we were punished for the rest of the year. Like, we couldn't go to any, like, school events, and we had the middle school Olympics. Like, we couldn't participate in any of that.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, I couldn't fucking get my participation ribbon in anything I wanted to do.
That could have changed your life path. If you hadn't pulled that chair out, you could be a gold medalist. You could have. You could have been the Phelps boy.
Yeah. I've definitely got the build for it. He moved away shortly after that. I never heard from him again until a few months ago when he found me on Facebook.
I really hope that they're like he and Gary are like organizing this like secret society. Like, all these people that we tell stories about, or you tell stories about on the show. Like, I hope there's like some kind of like villainous organization that they're banding.
Well, he was part of something called the AT Breakup Club.
What the fuck is that?
In elementary school, because I was friends with a few guys, and then with Matt, and I was already friends with Ashley Shake. Like, fifth grade year, Shake and I got to be really close friends and made our other friends jealous. So they formed their secret organization, the Ashley and Tyler Breakup Club, so he wouldn't be friends anymore, so he would talk to them again.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, those were good days. So quickly we mature from fifth grade to sixth grade. I'm your bespectacled host, Dave. And you know what? I don't really have any good middle school stories like that. I pretty much just minded my own business. I remember, you know, pretty much anything.
You treated middle school like prison. Like, just keep your eyes down, mind your own business. Yeah, don't worry about anything.
Yeah, middle school fucking sucked, dude. Like,
middle school does suck.
Did anyone have a good time in middle school? Like, I don't think I've ever talked to anyone who's like, you know what I think the best time of my life was? Middle school. You got that square-ass pizza with the plastic stuck to the bottom, and oh, it's just the best.
Well, here's a weird, try to make it not sound misogynistic statement, because a friend told me this the other day. Because I mentioned to her.
Buckle up, guys. Buckle up. I don't know where this is going. We're going on a, take us on a journey, Tyler.
I mentioned to her like how much I hated middle school, and she was like, I love middle school. I was like, how does anybody love middle school? She's like, well, I got pregnant in high school, so middle school were the good days. It's like, okay, that's. I can't argue with that.
That's kind of weird to put in perspective.
Yep.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine being pregnant, Tyler.
No, nor can I.
What we do on this show, Tyler, as you may or may not know, is we talk about IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games. We go through them one by one, and each week we talk about a different game. What do we land on this week?
It's in the tens. It's an iconic number 60.
Ah.
Aladdin.
Okay. All right. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I think I'm prepared for this.
I did happen to play that. Just because I happened to play it, not because we were supposed to.
Because it was Thursday.
Thursday, Aladdin Day. Oh, all right. Well, I guess because you're hesitating. I'm like, what's going on?
Oh. I'm just kind of looking at you. Yeah, just admiring your microphone presence.
Because Dave and I had discussed, because we ask for feedback and we get a lot of good feedback, some negative feedback.
Just a lot of bad feedback.
People hate it. We don't know why we do this.
I don't know. Yeah, if you're listening, you're in the minority because most everyone hates our show.
Unless you're mad. If you listen to this like my dad watches Fox News just to get mad, then...
That's rage a different mode. Thing.
Our listener John Turley does that. I've walked into his house several times. Why are you watching Fox News? So I get pissed off. So I yell at it. Okay. But Dave and I discussed because one of the more frequent feedbacks is, it's a retro podcast. Why do you talk about modern games? Mm-hmm. You know, worry about the Super Nintendo games. And that's right. That's a valid complaint, a valid criticism. And I think we have the audience built up that we can sustain doing two shows a week. So this is Wednesday, the Wednesday's original Tadpog,
original
top 100,
flavor.
Original flavor Tadpog, SNES top 100, that's not going to change, unbroken here every week, that's what we're doing every week. Mm-hmm. So now we'll probably just start doing Monday shows where that's when we talk about just other shit Mondays or side pog, I don't know, something we'll talk about what other things we've played that week.
Yeah.
And it might be... We also might do more in the episode about another Super Nintendo game that's on the list.
Right.
Or a Genesis game or anything else that
could be a long show, could be a short show.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
We're contractually obligated to do a Wednesday show on Super Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that is just icing on the cake. I also want to say that I think, listener, you should know that this isn't your fault. Tyler and I, we've just decided to go this direction and do a Wednesday and Monday show. We still love you very much. And we want you to know that even if things may feel a little weird, they're changing, but we'll all get used to it.
It is your fault. It is your fault, but no, we still love you. We're still there. You get some of us on Mondays and some of us on Wednesdays.
Yeah, yeah.
It just means you'll get twice as many presents on Christmas.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Just fill that sadness with gifts.
But yeah, so I guess I still would talk about, I guess, an audiobook. We can still fill, I can still mention that, maybe.
Let's save it.
You want to save it?
That's other shit.
That is other shit.
Save it for other shit Mondays.
Other shit Mondays. Okay.
So Aladdin.
Yeah.
It feels weird getting right into
fucking
it.
Fucking jumping into that shit.
Are you ready? Should we back out what we just said?
Now let's go. We've already gone in. We have to finish. No pulling out here. That's it.
Well, we can pull out at the very end.
Hopefully we'll make it in time. I don't know.
Yeah. Tyler, I'd like to kick this off, if you may. See, this is great. The new format's going to be great because I can just go right into Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
That's true.
Everyone, we can just get that tension out of the way. I feel better about it. All the listeners will feel better about it. And this week they'll learn about Aladdin.
Because I've got my ticket for the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train.
Nice.
Choo-choo.
It's been so long since I've heard that sweet song.
That almost sounded more like an impression of Pikachu than a train. Choo-choo.
I should record that
and
play it as an actual bumper, just the weirdest bumper ever. Or set it to when you call me. That's how. That's your ringtone. All right, guys. Aladdin for the Super Nintendo was developed and published by Capcom separately from Virgin's version. They did the Genesis version, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Although the game is still a side-scrolling platformer like it is on the Genesis, it is significantly different in both presentation and gameplay. By the way, side note, whoever did the Wikipedia entry for Aladdin pretty much did it on the Genesis version, and then there's like a little paragraph that's like, by the way, there's also a Super Nintendo game, but the Genesis version is clearly superior. Like, it had that air to it, where it's like, I don't think this is really impartial. So anyway, the game follows the movie's storyline, and players control Aladdin as he jumps on enemies, vaults off stumps, all right, whatever, and performs various acrobatic feats to get through levels. Throughout the level, Aladdin can collect apples to throw at enemies and golden scarabs, which unlock bonus stages. it just goes on. It's really not a good intro.
So that does sound like somebody really loved the game and just wanted to talk about it. They just wanted to be on Tadpog and talk about it.
If I could give this Wikipedia entry a beard, it would just be just a shit beard. It would just be like someone drew a beard on their face with with some dog shit, because it's not very good. But you guys get the gist. It was a movie. It was a movie cartoon, and then it was a game.
And I guess just the version is he's just in the woods, just jumping off stumps.
Stumps, yeah, clearly. Or I like to think that the person who wrote this entry never played the Super Nintendo version at all. Maybe he got a different game confused with it or something. What game had stumps in it? I don't know. Stumpy's Quest?
Al-Adeen, it's a very different game. Jesus.
Did you ever play this game as a kid, Tyler?
I did.
Holy shit, that's a rarity. Mm-hmm. One of us will say, yeah.
I played this on both Genesis and Super Nintendo.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a big
Aladdin was one of my favorite movies growing up as a kid, so when there was a video game, I was all over it.
I
had my parents drive me to the Good Movie Hut to rent Aladdin.
Nice.
Yeah.
I played it on the Genesis. I never played it on the Super Nintendo until I played it for the show. A friend of mine in middle school had a Genesis, and I remember we rented it, and I don't think we got very far in it, so I can't really sit here and compare them.
Yeah.
But I was doing research for the show, and a lot of people had, like, this is an issue still to this day. Which version of this game is better, the Genesis or the Super Nintendo version? Like, I swear, if you Google it, you'll see that the war still rages on today. Like, and it's the same arguments that I heard in middle school, where it's like, oh, well, Aladdin on the Genesis is better because Aladdin has a sword. That's the argument.
I mean, I can't complain about that argument.
But he never has a sword in the fucking movie.
Does he not?
I don't know. He probably cuts a rope or something.
Yeah. He never uses it on flesh.
You remember that time Aladdin just murdered? But he just butchered that lamb in front of Jasmine and then they had a feast. It's my favorite scene.
Because I recall comparing the two when I was young. I recall the Genesis version actually being the one I enjoyed more. I am far more of a Super Nintendo fanboy than I am a Genesis. Like, I owned both of them growing up.
Yeah.
Well, I owned the Genesis for a little while and then got rid of the Super Nintendo. So clearly I'm the Super Nintendo fan.
Yeah.
My dad wanted the Genesis just for the Michael Jackson game.
Moonwalk.
Like, you know my dad, but my dad is so sort of, he's conservative. He's a strange conglomeration of, like, weird conservative values. At the same time, there's other stuff that really conflicts with that.
I think you just summed up Western Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true. Because my dad loves Michael Jackson. Like, I walked out to his garage because he's a safety manager at a chemical plant, but before that, and still now, he'll just occasionally work on cars because my dad, he has to be doing something all the time.
Well, and then he's also that Michael Jackson impersonator, right?
That's true, yes. Because I've walked in the garage and, like, he'll have a car that he's been painting, and while he's letting it dry, he'll just be practicing, like, moonwalking in the garage. So, like, I walk in, he's like, Tyler, look. Doing it. He can do it fairly well.
Yeah.
And then
I wish everyone could have seen your maneuvering. That was actually the most convincing moonwalk I've seen in years. You just did. We're going to have to start a YouTube account just for that.
Zach gets us that external capture card. We'll start doing all sorts of shit. It's going to be amazing. But I just recall what made the Genesis version better in my mind then was that the sprites were larger.
Yeah.
Like in the Super Nintendo version, it feels like you're very far away. Like Aladdin is kind of small. Yeah.
But it's like you can't make out his facial features or anything.
Yeah, he's just, you can barely see his fez and the vest and white pants, and
right.
He doesn't have any facial characteristics. But I remember it being detailed and larger, and then he does have, like, sword where he can chop apples out of the air and stuff like that. They're getting thrown at him in arrows. And
So he's getting apples thrown at him.
Yeah.
Little role reversal from Genesis to Super Nintendo.
Because that is his weapon of choice in the Super Nintendo version. Just
apples.
Apples out of vases. That's what he likes.
Can we talk about the power-ups a little bit?
Yep.
Because apples are clearly the main power-up.
Mm-hmm. You get a lot of apples. Like, you can just chuck apples all day long.
I stopped using them, though. Like, after the first level, I was like, you know what? Apples, forget about it.
Unless you're fighting a guard, they're unnecessary. So
There's a lot of those in the first level.
Yep, the first level and like toward the end, but there's that big middle where there's just, you use them to hit bats. They kill bats automatically when you're in the Cave of Wonders.
And they just stun other guys. Mm-hmm. They don't kill another person. It's not a weird murder with
But
the
jumping
apple.
On them, that's what kills them.
Jumping on them, right.
But Aladdin, Disney movie, it's made, everything is exactly the same as Lion King, right? It's all same.
Mean?
It's the same studio, same system, everything. That everyone that did Lion King also did Aladdin?
I don't think so.
No?
Okay. I don't think so. Let's see.
Because if they did, the studio clearly preferred like Aladdin over the Lion King.
Yeah, I don't think Capcom did the Lion King. I also feel like I should know this because we just talked about the Lion King.
Mm. Yeah, what is it, a Konami or Acclaim did Lion King?
I thought that Konami did Lion King. I'm going to leave this in, by the way.
Yeah,
so everyone knows how ignorant we are.
We got discussions going on. See how the sausage is made.
Virgin. That makes sense because Virgin did the Genesis version.
And oh, so I guess
they did the Genesis version of Aladdin. And I guess Lion King came after Aladdin. Is that right? How did the movies
go? Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like I saw Lion King in fifth grade and Aladdin had to be before that.
Well, Aladdin must have been when Capcom lost their rights for Disney games on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
Must have been in between those games because Virgin had the rights to do Disney games for the Genesis and Capcom had the rights to do Disney games for Nintendo because they did DuckTales for the regular Nintendo and I guess they did other Disney games.
Okay, because I don't know.
I think the Jungle Book's Capcom.
That's a game?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
I'm going to look that up.
I need to add that to my... I need to... Try to cross up those games with Baloo in it because I love Baloo. So you got a Jungle Book and Tailspin, and that's about it for Baloo. So it's a very short list, but I hope there's a Tailspin game.
Okay, it looks like Virgin did it for the Genesis. Wikipedia is just Sega Genesis slanted. It's like I can't for the life of me. What's up, guys? Yeah, it looks like that was a Virgin interactive game. I don't know, guys. It's weird. Shit's fucked up.
Because I don't feel like. I guess because the Lion King, I feel, we hated that. I think you could probably assume that from listening to the episode that we didn't like the Lion King.
Yeah. No, it was a bad game. It was a bad game.
So it's, Aladdin is a much better, I mean, it's hard-pressed, even in Super Nintendo days, to find a quality, like, movie-licensed game.
Yeah.
I feel like overall, Aladdin was a pretty solid offering for a licensed game.
Yeah, it was, well... It certainly was better than The Lion King.
Yeah. Yep.
If we could say one thing right out the gate, it's that this game is much better than The Lion King.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of seems like I would never play The Lion King again. I'd play Aladdin again. Honestly, I almost went back and played it a second time because I went through it the first time really fast because it's a really short game.
It's a very easy game and very short game.
Yeah. It's like, it was weird playing two easy platformers in a row for this show, Tyler, because it's like usually I feel like the games we play are just like I'm never gonna finish. Mm-hmm. It's like this is a difficult game. I literally don't have the time to beat this game in a week to talk about it on the show. But it's like I feel like the last two, with Joe and Mac 2 and Aladdin, I kind of feel like it's the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
Because these are just like two easy games that are like you could just sit down and beat in 2 hours.
Yeah, I feel like Aladdin is maybe a little longer than Joe and Mac, but...
I thought Joe and Mac
even
was
shorter.
Longer.
Oh, really?
Maybe that's just because I was... All right, I don't mean to brag, but I was pretty good at Aladdin. pretty good at Aladdin. Certainly better than Joe and Mac 2, because I remember seeing the game over screen on Joe and Mac 2. I don't know what the game over screen looks like on Aladdin.
I don't know. I didn't lose either. You're right. I didn't get to that point either, so... But I do, the only time I had problems, like, we talked about how loose Simba controls in The Lion King.
Yeah.
And Aladdin, not as tight as it should have been.
Yeah.
But better, but it's like, if Lion King is on the horrible end and Mario is on, like, the really tight end,
yeah.
Aladdin's right in the middle.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking the same thing as I was playing it. I was like, I can tell where Aladdin is, and sometimes... Timing the jumps is a little tricky just because of the way the sprite functions.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept reminding myself that it wasn't Lion King because Lion King is really bad.
Mm.
Like we talked about swinging on the hippo tails in Lion King. You have to do that as Simba cub. In Aladdin, there's a mechanic that's similar throughout every level, I'd say. He swings it something at least every level.
Yeah.
But at least with Aladdin, I could tell when to hit the button to make it to the next ledge.
Yeah, and his hands fully land on whatever you're supposed to.
It's weird. There's like little blessings where it's just like, oh, thank you for not being Lion King.
The only complaint I really had about the platforming in Aladdin was when you have to bounce from thing to thing, like you can't bounce in place. The game kind of encourages you to try to go through it as fast as you can almost moving. And just do it on one. So it's very hard to, like, if you bounce, to bounce again and wait to time something.
You can. Yeah. It is possible to do. It's tough, I think.
Yeah, because they don't want you to do that. And
I
then
got that feeling too.
Having to bounce high enough for certain things. Like, I died a lot whenever I was trying to.
Were you chasing red gems?
I fuck red gems.
Oh, yeah.
I stopped worrying about red gems completely. Man.
See, that's why I could play this game again, just to get the red gems.
Or try and get all of them?
Yeah, because I had fun. I had a lot of fun trying to get those. I totally lied when I said I didn't get a game over screen. I just, I told the listener that I was good at the game. And I needed to back that claim up, so I just lied. I did.
We all lie about game over screens. We lie about fingers in our butts. We lie.
I'm sorry, okay. Listeners. This is why we're going to have a Monday show. It's because of shit like this. I failed so many times because I was going for these red gems.
Okay.
And that chase was fun. Do you know what they do? Do you know what the gems do?
No.
These gems
idea.
That you collect?
I never got more than three on a stage.
Did you get, but you got like the regular ones because there's red ones and then there's like green
the
ones.
The green ones. Yeah, I've got enough. Over time, I got enough of the green ones to cap out.
And the green ones are just like your standard platform trail for telling you which direction to go.
Yep.
Okay, what you're trying to do is you're trying to collect 100 gems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in Mario, you collect 100 coins, you get an extra life. But in Aladdin, when you collect 100 gems, you get an extra heart container.
Oh, I thought it just refilled your hearts.
It gives you an extra container, which, see, I was all about fuck the gems too until I learned that because I looked up halfway through the game and I was like, I know I started this game with, I think, 3 heart containers, and it's like, now I have 5. But, how is that possible? And then I started thinking, I was like, I bet it's these fucking gems. And then sure enough, I watched the counter. And whenever it would hit 100, I would notice next level and I'd have another heart container.
See, the only time I got more hearts was when you get a golden scarab and get the bonus stage.
Yeah, break time.
getting genie gives you more hearts.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I noticed it.
Yeah, I think that's a cool mini game.
It's a very rewarding mini game.
Because, there's no skill involved. It's all luck, right? Mm-hmm. Unless there's a way to cheat the wheel. I don't know.
I bet there is. There's got to be some way. Somebody's figured something out.
But Genie's there and he spins the wheel and it's all these amazing power-ups on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I say amazing, but it's stuff like a 1-up or a 2-up or...
Credits?
Yeah, an extra credit. And apparently a heart container. I never got to land on that.
Mm-hmm.
See, I figured that just refilled.
I think it's 2 heart containers, actually.
Holy shit.
For getting Genie.
Oh, for getting the genie icon. Mm-hmm. Oh, that really, really
small one. The really small one.
Yeah.
Yep. I got it once.
Nice. I was close, but never got it. Maybe next time. Maybe on my red gem run. But the red gems give you 3, the equivalent of 3 regular gems. So that's the only thing special about them.
Okay.
And I think there's a set amount in each level. There's like 10 or something per level.
So I know it tells you at the end how many you've gotten. So it's like, is there a secret ending for Aladdin? Like you get all the red gems?
There is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is. There's a separate ending if you get, I think, over 50. Because I think there's 70 total. And I think if you get, I could be completely lying, but it is this bracket. Like, I think it's 50 to 70, you get a special ending. Anything below 50, you get the standard ending, which is, spoilers, you and it's Tyler and Jasmine on the magic carpet.
You buy one of the really rare SNES photography things you sit on your TV. Really rare. You probably won't be able to find one.
The special ending I didn't get, but apparently it's a whole bunch of scenes of Aladdin doing stuff in the levels. It did not sound exciting. Like, it did not sound like a motivation to go through it again.
Watch Aladdin do stuff. Right.
Here he is in this level, petting Naboo. All right. You don't get to see Samus in a bikini, is what I'm saying.
Fuck it. Fuck it. I don't give a shit.
I've been talking forever. Say something.
No, I'm happy hearing you talk. Let's see. I feel like it hit the movie pretty stride for stride, except for the weird genie stage.
Yeah, well, not only... yeah, please, tell me about the genie stage.
Because, like, you rub the lamp, genie comes out, all of a sudden, like, are you in the lamp? Like, you go inside of genie's lamp and do platforming with genie?
Yeah.
And, like, everything is, like, his face and his head, so, like, there are balloons and blocks and stuff that are... It's his... Every time you get close to him, the face reacts.
Yeah, it's genie's face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's making... Yeah, depending on what you're doing, he will make a disapproving face or... Like, when you fall off a cloud, he'll do that genie, you know, classic Aladdin move where his jaw, like, drops to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hated that level. That wasn't very fun. That's the only time where I died, you know, several times. One-ups were plentiful, so it wasn't a big deal.
Well, and there's a password save, too. So it doesn't matter. And the password save, I don't think, records, like, how many credits you have. Or how many lives you have or anything like that.
You just start full every time.
You just start full. So all you have to do, if you can make it through a level with both credits and all your lives, you're going to be just fine.
So yeah, if Aladdin was first and people said, this is too easy, then Virgin's like, all right, fuck y'all. Fuck you assholes.
Was it harder on the Genesis? Lion King.
I remember it being harder. Yeah. Yes, I do remember it being harder
on Genesis. I imagine it would have to be.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you this because it has been so long since I've seen Aladdin. There's a level in this game where Abu falls off the magic carpet and lands in a pyramid.
That's true. I forgot it.
And you have to go through and save him? That wasn't in the movie, right?
No, it was not.
Because I was playing it and I was like, I don't remember
this. I want to say it might have been in the TV show.
There was a TV show?
Yeah, there was a long-running Aladdin TV show on Disney Channel.
Really?
Like where he fought... Have you seen all the Aladdin movies, the Aladdin trilogy?
No, I'm sorry, I'm not.
All right, in Aladdin 2, The Return of Jafar, where somebody finds Jafar's lamp, spoilers, finds Jafar's lamp and like basically gets tortured by Jafar. Like that guy is one of the enemies in the Aladdin TV show. Okay. And then there's like Nega Aladdin, who looks like Aladdin, but he dresses differently. He has a flying eel companion instead of Apu.
What the fuck? This is in the second movie?
That guy's not in the second movie, just the...
The TV show?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's sort of like this artificer type person who builds all these fantastic machines that come after Aladdin in the TV show. Like,
this sounds not so good. Was it good?
It was okay. Yeah. They just had to invent more things than Jafar, you know, for Aladdin to do. Right. But it was your standard Saturday morning cartoon fare.
Huh.
And then I enjoyed Aladdin 3, The King of Thieves.
What was that about?
He meets his dad, and they go after the Hand of Midas together.
Is his dad Indiana Jones? Because I really want it to be Indiana Jones.
He's just Aladdin with a white thing in his beard. White streak in his beard. So, yeah.
It's not his twin brother?
Nope. They could be twin brothers.
Wouldn't you like to be an exact twin of your dad? Like, wouldn't that just be... That'd be the coolest thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Did Aladdin seem to mind?
No, it's true, no. I mean, he was mad at first when he met his dad, because his dad, of course, abandoned him, but, yeah. I had to grow a much bigger mustache for me to be a clone of my dad.
Aladdin got over it within 24 minutes, I'm willing to guess.
Yep. And they decided to go treasure hunting together.
Well, like you do.
And Iago leaves Aladdin to go live with Aladdin's dad.
I fucking love Iago. He's my favorite thing about Aladdin.
Yep.
And I think it goes back to Gilbert Godfrey on Up All Night on USA, because I remember... seeing him when I was really, really young. So when I saw Aladdin in middle school, I was like, I know that guy. That's the guy who hosts all those shitty movies on USA.
Well, do you recognize who the voice of Aladdin is?
No.
In the game and in the TV show.
No, who is it?
It blew my mind when I realized who it was. You remember DJ's boyfriend, Steve, in Full House?
Yeah.
Steve is Aladdin.
It's fucking Steve?
It is Steve.
Get the fuck out.
He's even whenever they go to Disney.
Yeah.
He's Aladdin when he meets Jasmine again. So like they take it to another level.
Well, that's weird that you say that because who played DJ?
Candace Cameron.
I thought that Aladdin sounded like her brother.
Kirk?
Yep.
Kirk Cameron?
Yep. I did because when I was playing the game, I was like, did Kirk Cameron voice Aladdin?
No, somebody else in DJ's line.
Yeah.
Some other important person.
All things meet with DJ. It's the Venn diagram.
Well, see, I also, random thing I know for no real reason.
Yeah.
Lori Beth Denberg from All That. She was the heavy set girl from All That who did Vital Information.
I'm not saying fat anymore?
Yeah. Okay. It makes Jacob York very sad when I call a girl fat. So I'm just going to say rotund individual.
Heavy set.
Heavy set.
Okay. We're changing our ways for you, Jacob. I hope you're happy.
She went to high school with DJ. They just went to high school together.
Like on the show?
No, in real life.
So she probably knows Kirk.
Yeah.
I would assume they went to school all together.
See, I could go on about the Cameron family for a while. I know there's weird things about Kirk too, but we can say we have Kirk Cameron trivia on Other Ship Mondays.
Other Ship Monday, I love it. Oh, I can't wait.
The weird the genie level. I am trying to go from cloud to cloud. Like genie barely made it with enough time for you to jump to the next one before the previous one disappeared.
Right.
So that cost me a few lives. But most levels didn't have bosses. I know the first boss, you fight the apple vendor.
Yeah, the first level has a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, was he an apple vendor?
Or
because that's hilarious.
Bread vendor.
He's the guy.
No, Jasmine stole an apple, so he is an apple vendor.
Well, no wonder he's mad.
Because
you got all these apples.
I've got hundreds of apples from this apple vendor.
You're like, how many apples can you hold, Aladdin? 99. How many of those apples did you pay for? None of them. That's not very Kirk Cameron-ly of you.
Nope. That's how we should call it, Kirk Cameron-ly.
Kirk Cameron-ly.
I want a Kirk's Christians, both with a K. But you beat him of... I know there's Sorcerer Jafar and Snake Jafar.
And that's at the end of the fucking game. It's like this game is bookended with bosses.
Most of the time it's just a wooden sign with an arrow on it.
Pointing left.
That's it.
Pointing right, sorry. Yeah. Time to get the fuck out is what that sign says.
Because I even have in my notes, apples, jumping, get a sword. There's swords everywhere over the game. Just pick one up. It's fine, Aladdin. Just pick one up.
They're magic, though. You have to jump on them. You have to jump on them to defeat them.
Yep, it's true.
That's an enemy. Cross swords. This game didn't have many enemies either.
No, but it's mostly just kind of platforming challenging.
Yeah.
Because you go from the bazaar where you save Aladdin, and then you're in the Cave of Wonders, which I noticed in the Cave of Wonders, if Aladdin hits the water, dead. Automatic death when you hit the water, like in the log ride and stuff
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Aladdin falls in lava, however.
He gets an extra shot.
You just get hurt. That's it.
You get an extra chance because the lava will hit you, will hurt you,
mm-hmm.
and you'll like get that like 3 or 4 frames of an invincibility. And then if you don't get on a solid object before then, he just falls off the screen. But it's weird that they give you an extra shot in lava. But it's like water?
No.
Forget about that shit.
You've never seen Aladdin swim. Mm-mm. In any movie, he doesn't swim. Mm-mm. So, bring him, he's weak to it. It's like Unbreakable.
So, yeah. What I'm saying is, essentially, if you feel like playing Assassin's Creed Super Nintendo, go play Aladdin.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're climbing
still Middle
shit.
Eastern.
Yeah, it's Middle Eastern. You're climbing shit. And you fall in water, you just die. There was a level that was different that I kind of got frustrated with. This was my train level.
Okay.
The diehard listeners will know what I mean when I say train level.
Drew Roland and Michael Perdue and Josh Edwards.
Right.
They know.
They know what's up. But the train level and Tiny Toon Adventures really frustrated me. The rest of the game I thought was really easy, but it frustrated me. I had this same kind of feeling playing Aladdin, and that was in the first Magic Carpet level.
Oh, okay.
Because it's essentially, you're on the magic carpet, and it's Battletoads Turbo Tunnel style. You got to fly this carpet through a cave, so you have to avoid both stalagmites and stalactites.
Yeah.
And avoid an advancing wall of death, aka waves of lava mm-hmm. coming in from the left. I thought that was kind of a shitty level.
And I feel like the sprites on the walls weren't... You could die just by getting close as opposed to actually hitting them.
Yes. That was what made that level bad. If it had been precise, like if the, for lack of a better term, I'll use a modern term, hitbox. If the hitbox on the stalagmites and stalactites would have been tighter, I think that could have been a really fun level. But I felt like you had to ride in the middle because I had no idea.
You barely adjust up and down, which makes it not very fun if you're just...
Uh-huh.
And most of the time I think I lost a few lives on that level, but at the very end, like where it gets really tight with you swooping up and down and getting out of the lava, right before the ending, that's when I would always hit the upper side and die.
Well, that's when the pressure builds up.
So yeah,
I had that a few times too, because like the lava eventually recedes, but the tunnel keeps going on. Mm-hmm. And when that lava recedes, I'm like, oh, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Just don't fuck it up. Things are really easy now. Just don't. And I'm dead. But that's something else, man. I can tell you that's a sure sign this game is from the 90s. I've said it before, and I will say it many more times, I'm sure. It may not show up in our next game, which I think is NHL, but it's pretty much not a 90s platformer unless there's lava in it.
Yep.
There's just got to be lava. It's a requirement.
I'm trying to think of a modern game that has like lava in it.
Gears of War, I know. Gears of War 2 had some lava in it.
Okay. Mario games will always have Mario's like some kind of lava.
They get a pass, that's, right? Yeah.
Because they handle it well, because they tackle all terrains. And lava is, of course, a terrain. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a trope that a lot of designers have moved on from.
Well, it's like you got a 2D platformer. I guess there's just so much you can do. I don't know. Or maybe they're just lazy and they're like, lava level.
Yeah.
There it is.
Maybe Mighty Number 9 will have a lava level.
I hope so.
So, yeah. Let's see. I feel like because it's sort of the 16-bit renditions of all the Aladdin music, mm-hmm. which I was fine with. It was an interesting take.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I didn't have a problem with any of the songs. In fact, I would go so far to say it was great, because I had forgotten how much I enjoyed that soundtrack when I was a kid. And hearing even these 16-bit renditions took me back. I was like, wow, yeah, holy shit, I forgot this song even existed. And now it's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the night.
Because I remember seeing somebody reference it today on Reddit about can't recall anything you learned in class or on test, but you still know every fucking word to I Will Show You the World. Or it's like it just Aladdin songs, man, just fucking burrow in your brain.
I've got a question for you.
Yes.
This may be a little blue, okay? So I'm just going to go ahead and throw that warning out.
Sorry, Jacob.
Tyler may say heavy set, but I'm going to talk about this because there's no way around this, okay? I even had to call, I called Nikki into the room to confirm this. You fought Jafar, right? In the throne room, Tyler. Hmm. Do you recall the throne?
No.
Okay. I took a screenshot because I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And I called Nikki in and I said, what does this throne look like to you? And she looked at it and she said, a cobra? And it does. It's like a big golden cobra, mm-hmm. right? That like...
I remember from the movie now. Okay, now that you say that.
And I was like, okay, do you see anything else? And she looked at it, and she kind of looked at me, a vagina? Yeah. Yes. I'll post this screenshot. I'll let you be the judge. But yeah, it looks like this cobra, this giant cobra with a giant open vagina on his chest. And it's just like, I mean, it's clear as day, man. I'm sorry. I may be a little... odd, but that's a fucking vagina.
Well, that's in everything Disney does. They always sneak something in.
Yeah.
So there you go.
What was it in Aladdin? I don't remember. Because in Lion King, it was like sex. Like, right? It's sex spelled out in the dust or something.
Yeah, whenever he flops down the flowers, and it supposedly spells sex. And I believe it in Aladdin, it is whenever he's trying to sneak up into her window.
Yeah.
And Jasmine's like behind all these clothes.
He says something really fast.
Yeah.
Wait, what does he say?
He says something like, you know... I want to fuck you, or get naked, take your shirt off.
Give me all your money. I think it was take your shirt off.
Take your shirt off. It's something like that.
Something like that.
She's changing behind the silks, and he's looking over, and yeah. And then, that being the one for that.
Because there's like this trilogy of Disney movies, right, where they have that dirty shit in it, because mm-hmm. there's like The Little Mermaid. It feels like the holy trinity of that is The Little Mermaid, Lion King, and Aladdin.
Or somebody had a picture of the Little Mermaid box.
Yeah,
the plastic box.
Yeah,
and the dick circled on all the dicks.
Yeah,
like there were multiple.
Oh, there's
dicks.
More than one dick.
They circled. There were like six. There were like six damn dicks on that cover.
This cover had like six goddamn dicks. I'm glad I can mark, because I actually have this on my show notes, or actually on my notes that I'm using right now, Tyler, is that Disney sex scandals. So I'm going to go ahead and mark that off. We've talked about it.
So, listener, if you know more about Disney sex scandals, give us a call next week. We'll still talk about it. We'll talk about sexy Disney things.
Yeah, and please look at the show notes on tadpog.com. I will have that screenshot there. I defy anyone to look at that and tell me that is not a giant gold cobra with a giant vagina on his chest. Or her chest, I'm sorry. Clearly, it's a lady snake. That's also the name of my hair metal band. Lady snake.
Lady snake! I felt like, because you fight Sorcerer Jafar, which I felt like that was the hardest boss in the game. It took me a little while to beat Sorcerer Jafar.
Yeah.
Snake Jafar was a joke.
I thought Snake Jafar was a lot easier. He killed me once, and then I learned his pattern after that, and he was done.
Yeah, I felt like no problem. And I was expecting something else, like another form of the snake. I was expecting something else more in the game. And then
right.
Aladdin stands there for a while, and then that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like a scene with Genie, and that's it.
Heart-touching scene where, spoilers, he frees the Genie. Aladdin has a chance to wish himself to be a prince again. What's that? Because, like, that was his second wish, too. I don't understand that. The logic on that is fuzzy for me.
Well, what are Aladdin's two wishes? First one is the first one to be a prince. That's when he becomes prince, like Ali Baba.
Right.
And is the second one.
I believe Tyler's Ali Bua Bua.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Bua Bua. Bua Bua. And then was the second one like Genie kind of had to assume he was making a wish to save his life whenever he was like drowning?
I don't know, man. I got to see this movie again. But I feel like Genie kind of did more shit than he should have.
Mm.
Like, I feel like there were times where he's probably skating the thin line between wish and helping Aladdin out.
Yep, that's true.
Like, if there's any kind of genie code, which I know there is, because if there wasn't, he wouldn't need to be wished free. He could just fucking leave anytime. Clearly, genie is not a union job.
Well, he's a neutral good genie. Then you've got a genie like Jafar, who is very, very much a lawful evil genie.
Yeah, well, clearly.
Like, that's the whole, whatever, like, the guy tells Jafar, is like, you can't kill me. Jafar, that's when he's like, you'd be surprised what you could live through.
Man.
Lawful evil Jafar.
God, you are bringing me back.
Yeah.
Did you watch this week?
No, I just really loved Aladdin when I was a kid.
Man, it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. It was a really good movie. I remember the Cave of Wonders. I remember that tiger cave. Really impressing the shit out of me.
Yeah.
That was good shit.
I remember the feeling I got whenever, like, you see the sand swirling around him, and he holds up Jafar's lamp. And that's mm-hmm. when he's, you know, and everything that goes with it. And Jafar gets backed up. I remember it wasn't quite a Green Ranger moment, but it was an emotional moment for me as a kid.
They handled that moment in the game well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When Jafar got turned into the genie, spoilers. When they have like this overtop view of the lamp, and they have the shadow of the lamp, and then like it swirls down.
You're circling down.
That's one of the first times I think I've really been impressed with the graphical presentation that I've experienced on this list. Because I sat back and I was like, wow, that was really, really well done for mm-hmm. a Super Nintendo game. That looked good.
Mm-hmm. Especially for an ending, whenever I feel like most Super Nintendo games didn't give a shit about endings. I feel like I've never really played a Super Nintendo game that had substantial endings, except for a few JRPGs.
Yeah.
Then that's when I got a payoff. Like Final Fantasy VI, I think, has one of the best video game endings of all time.
Oh, yeah.
So, listener, you got from now until we get to, like, number four on IGN's list to play Final Fantasy VI. So we won't spoil it for you when we get there.
That's plenty of time. There's something interesting about this game.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know about this, Tyler. Dungeons and Dragons, have you ever heard of this thing?
A little bit.
Yeah.
That's where you kill your parents.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time in the sewers, and then you kill your parents.
Okay.
And then experience points, they're involved somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
There's a magazine called Dragon that talks about, typically back in the day, talked about D&D. They reviewed this game, which I think
really?
Is really odd. Yeah, Dragon Magazine, I think it was issue 211. Gave Aladdin 5 stars out of 5.
All right.
So there you go.
That must have been like they were about to come out with like a Dark Sun expansion. Yeah, so they were like, let's pull them in with Aladdin.
I bet
let's
you're do right. That. I bet you're right 100%. Do you have achievements for this game?
I do. I have 3.
Oh, God. Dole them out slow so I can think of one. Okay, not that slow.
Okay, well, one is... The Reuben Studdard.
Okay.
Reuben Studdard was like...
American Idol, right?
American, like, second yeah. season American Idol. He was the big black guy that could sing really, really
not
well.
Fat.
Not fat.
No.
Not fat. But
heavy set gentleman.
And he sang he's saying, "I will show you the world." Like he's saying like a really good rendition that like it was toward the end, so it could have like won
a whole
him,
new
won
world,
him, a whole new world,
the carpet song.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. He's saying that and okay. did really really well. Like standing ovation, people went crazy. So that's a level. It's a bonus level where you're on the carpet with Jasmine. You can fly through. It's just a huge gem fest.
Right.
So to get the Reuben Studdard, you collect all the gems in the on the bonus stage's carpet.
That's fucking hard to do.
It's hard to do.
Trust me, coming from
it's as hard as winning American Idol.
Okay, it's proportional. I like it.
The next I have is Johnny Appleseed.
Okay.
Stun 50 guards by throwing apples throughout the course of the game.
Okay.
And then the last one is the fourth wish.
Mm.
Which is maxing out your hearts.
Oh.
There you go.
I like that. Which is what, 10 or something like that? I think I got 9.
See, the only ones I got were the genie, the face of genie, so.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, Tyler, I guess I would go with Come On Down. Come On Down would be one. And it's pretty easy to unlock. All you have to do is catch a golden scarab and play genie's mini game once, which the name of the mini game is Break Time. I'm surprised. Okay, here, let's see if I can make an achievement out of this. I got an achievement for you. It's called English 101. In order to unlock English 101, you have to properly translate everything in the game because Capcom sure as fuck didn't do it.
Nope.
Example, when you finish a stage, you get a password, and on that stage it says, "You completed!" Exclamation mark. All right.
Yeah, dude.
All right, fair enough. This game I felt was littered with all kinds of shit like that. And did you read the names in the credits?
Mm-mm.
They're pretty funny too, because it seemed like the developers did not take this fucking seriously at all. It's like old school NES credits, where it's just like the game developers were like, "No one's ever gonna see this. Let's just say whatever we want. We're not gonna use real names." Like one was Professor F. I mean, it is worth beating the game
Professor
for the credits.
F.
So those would be my achievements, Tyler.
Okay, I dig that. I have to say, okay, question for you, Dave.
Okay.
What's the best The Price is Right game?
All right. I think this, I'm probably in the majority here when I say Plinko.
Yep, because that is the correct answer.
I mean, I realize that Plinko has like, there's not a whole lot of skill involved other than choosing the right spot to drop the Plinko chip.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of games that take more skill. Like, what's the yodeling game? Going up the mountain?
I just know there's a yodeler.
Yeah, the yodeler. We'll call it the yodeler. I also really like that game because no one wins it.
You always see the drop off the edge of the mountain.
And it's like, what the best part is when the contestant realizes. They're like, "Oh shit, I'm playing that game." Like, you can just see it on their face. Like, "I'm going home with a consolation prize."
I'd heard there was going to be an all Plinko episode of The Price is Right.
Whoa.
Like, soon.
Unless they bring Bob Barker back for that, I'm not interested.
See, I've since Drew Carey has taken over, I've not seen an episode.
I don't have a problem with Drew Carey. Love the Drew Carey show.
Mm-hmm.
So much. I wish I could find that streaming somewhere. But for some reason, I've never even given him a shot on The Price is Right. I'll just be honest with you. Never really even. He's not Bob Barker, man. He can't. As far as I'm concerned, he can't do it.
Okay. Strong words. Somebody wants to refute Dave's claim.
Yeah,
call
really.
In. No, let's talk about The Price is Right.
That's like Family Feud. It's like,
oh man,
that is not the same game anymore.
Oh, Family Feud, man, that show is fucking cursed.
I mean, it's Dick Dawson or go the fuck home.
Yep.
Because Al from Home Improvement, he ain't fucking cutting it. Is he the one doing it now? I know he did it for a while.
No, Steve Harvey does it now.
Steve Harvey does it now. I'm sure he does an awful job.
Because it was, it was Richard Dawson, and I feel like it was somebody else, and then that guy who committed suicide.
Oh, that's dark.
Yeah, one of the, I feel like the second longest running host ended up committing suicide. Then they
Jonathan Brandis.
Then they replaced him with Al.
Roddy Dangerfield, who of course died shortly thereafter. That's right, I'm bringing that joke back.
Roddy Dangerfield hosting Family Feud would have been fucking amazing.
I agree.
My God.
Or Bill Murray. I think of Bill Murray Family Feud too.
Bill Murray does so much weird shit. He needs to come on and host an episode of the Family Feud.
He does enough weird shit, he needs to come on this show. If he ever does an AMA on Reddit, we need to ask him to come on this show.
Oh, man. Friend of the show, Brandon Eves, knows his son. Has really? Partied with his son in New York before.
Brandon, fucking hook us up. We well, need...
so apparently the son, if you even mention his dad, gets really pissed off.
Oh, really?
So, like, Brandon wouldn't, like... They, all right. They pulled him aside, like, do not mention his dad in front of him. Don't do this.
New
Don't
idea. Well, that means that either Brandon was lying to you and didn't want you to bring that up to that guy.
He's been known to do that.
But what we need to do is get Bill Murray's son on the show and just bring it up on the mics and see what happens.
See if he just walks out of Dad Punk Studios.
See if he stabs you in the hand with a pencil.
I'll keep it quiet. I'll keep your promise, Bill Murray's mm-hmm. son. As much as we respect you, we call you Bill Murray's son.
I'm sure it's a spider bite.
And I feel like I should also comment, Jasmine is my favorite Disney princess. Pretty much hands down.
Yeah, okay.
I like Mulan, but Jasmine.
I think, honestly, that's like Plinko. That's kind the right of answer.
The universal. Have you ever seen New Girl, Zooey Deschanel's show?
You know, I'm familiar with this new girl with the bangs, and she's cute, but no, I follow the show.
Her model best friend, Cece, I feel like is the mortal incarnation of Jasmine.
Really?
It is so dead on how much they look alike.
Hmm.
Just putting that out there, random thoughts as I was making notes. That's all I got, though. That is me crossing off the last thing on my list.
Well, you know what that means.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to get audio confirmation. You're crossing off the list. Yep, we're done.
There we go.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
This could end very racist, this question. Mm-hmm. So I want you to be extra sensitive with your answer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because beards carry a lot of weight in certain parts of the world.
Mm.
And you may or may not have noticed, but Aladdin takes place in a far, far away land.
Mm-hmm. Agrabah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, if you were to give this game a beard that summed up all the qualities of the game, what kind of beard would that be?
Because I'd asked you the question earlier. There's a character from the Venture Brothers, Dr. Orpheus.
Probably.
The necromancer.
It's probably we believe, his name.
Yeah, probably. And I'd give it Dr. Orpheus's.
Orifices.
Orifices. Orifici?
It's Dr. the Cobra Throne, I'm telling you.
Dr. Orpheus's very neatly trimmed beard.
Well, that's almost like a Jafar. It's almost like a Jafar beard,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It is very similar to a Jafar beard, and this guy is actually a full-blown necromancer. Dr. Orpheus is what Jafar should have aspired to be, but he just couldn't keep his shit together long enough.
I may have misheard you. I hope that I didn't. Did you say a full-boned necromancer? I hope you said that, because that is like the pun of all puns. If I ever play a necromancer in D&D, he is going to introduce himself as the full-boned necromancer.
That's like his Full Metal Alchemist name. It's like the full-boned necromancer. I said blown, but bone would have been better. You're
well,
right.
I think I heard what I wanted to hear. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that told someone everything they needed to know about Aladdin, what kind of glasses would you give the game?
Dave, are you familiar with the cinematic masterpiece Wild Wild West?
Oh, am I?
Mm-hmm.
Are you about to give this game a giant mechanical spider?
No, I'm going to give it the monocle of General Bloodbath McGrath.
Okay. Why?
Because he doesn't really need it.
Uh-huh.
And it always falls out every time he's stomping around, every time he's stomping Mississippi mud holes in Will Smith's ass. Also, a bit of trivia. Sean Miller of last week, Joan Mac 2 fame, he has a bassinet, bloodhound? Bloodhound. He has a bloodhound. Named,
some kind of hound.
Named General Bloodbath McGrath. No, it's Colonel. Colonel Bloodbath McGrath, because they call him Colonel. So it's Colonel Bloodbath McGrath.
He also has a giant mechanical spider in his backyard.
That he inserts half of himself into and stomps around, yelling for Will Smith to come out.
He does a lot of weird cosplay. I'm sorry, it's not weird. It's different.
He wears it to all the proms. Wild Wild West costumes to all the proms.
That's our friend.
This is how we keep getting him to come back. We just make him more and more elaborate lies. He has to say, they're lying.
Some people called us.
Yeah.
I need to tell you something, Tyler, before we get into the calls. I didn't want to tell you this before we started recording because I didn't want you to be like super bummed out. But I feel like if I don't tell you this now, it's only going to make it worse.
Hmm.
I got a message from Lord Mike today. Mm. He didn't have time to call in. He didn't. Things are busy at work. He doesn't love us as much as he used to, but he still loves us a little bit. So I told him, thank you for letting me know, because otherwise Tyler and I would be concerned that you were lying dead in a ditch somewhere.
Yep.
So I think, honestly, I think it was just his way. He's trying to stay off your eerily silent list that you got going. So
yeah, it is a very fearsome, it's not a good place to be. You don't want to be on that list.
So can we agree to give him the week off?
Mm-hmm.
Catch up at work, Lord Mike, and then your estate will be waiting for you when you come back next week. All right, here we go. First caller.
Tyler, Dave, it's Paul again. So I'm super psyched to have you guys agree to be on the show. That's cool. I also want to sweeten the pot for your 5-star reviews. I'll tell you what, you want to give stuff away? Whoever wins your 5-star review contest, if they want to be on the show on What's Paul Playing Today, I will have whoever wins be on the show, and I'll play whatever game they want. I will buy it. I don't care. It's their choice. All right? So next time you have a contest, if they can choose that prize, how's that for you? We'll get a ton of 5-star reviews for you yet. All right, you guys. You have a good week. Bye.
That is most excellent, Paul. Thank you. So yeah. Now we have 4 things to give away for... No one's giving us reviews. We're just going to keep stacking up these prizes.
The first person to give us a 5-star review after this episode, what all do they get, Tyler?
They could get a coin, a Goosebump book, a random shitty book, and now a guest spot on Paul's show.
Okay, well, the first person can't get all that, right? We got to spread it out, maybe.
I mean, unless they win.
They get a chance. So what we'll do is we'll take all our 5-star reviews. Let's say, what episode is this? Like 47? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say by 50. You want to do 50 and give something away?
Yeah.
We'll look at all our 5-star reviews at 50 and we'll randomly pick somebody and they'll win something off of that list.
Yep.
Okay. Maybe we can generate that randomly too. It'll just be a big old random fest.
That sounds, yeah, yeah. And our wives can't win. Let's say that.
Why not?
Because they're already winning plenty, Dave. They win plenty.
Good answer. I'm sure they agree with that.
Absolutely.
Speaking of our wives, they're going to do a show, Manpog.
Mm-hmm.
Meg and Nikki play old games, but they're probably not going to actually play old games, but they are going to answer questions
mm-hmm.
that people send in. If you have a question for both of our wives, either of our wives, call in and ask them a question. They'll do it on the show.
So we've got, do you want to put a deadline on that? Do we want to...
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's buy, what do you say?
Three weeks?
You going to do 3 weeks?
3 weeks. Three more weeks from this published date.
Which will be, this will publish October 30th. So that'll put us out, we're very professional here at Tadpog. So 3 weeks from then would be November 20th.
Okay.
Let's get it in before Thanksgiving, dog. Go ahead and mark that off your list so you can get ready for Black Friday.
Yeah. And so let's prepare for massive mall near-death experience. Call Manpog.
Yes, please call us with your Manpog question before you get trampled at a Walmart. Thank you for calling, Paul. We look forward to playing with you as well. We got another call, Tyler.
Yeah.
What's up, Tadpog? It's Yuki's cousin. I was listening to the Joe and Mac episode today, and you guys were talking about Dungeons and Dragons a little bit, and it got me thinking. I thought it would be interesting if you guys would make up character sheets for each other. So Tyler, fill out a character sheet that you think would describe Dave and vice versa, complete with what character class you think the other person would be most suited for if they were in a fantasy setting, and including, you know, what their alignment is and everything. So I thought that would be kind of cool if you guys could do that, and I'll be listening and looking forward to hearing. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Yuki's cousin, we have had this discussion so many times. Josh Nance of various episode fame once ran a one-shot game called the Lowe's Game, where it was a post-apocalyptic thing where we were all trapped in Lowe's and having to fight our way out. And we had big discussions as a huge group about what everybody's class alignment stats, what all stuff that was.
I wasn't in that game though.
Were you not?
Uh-uh. I may have been an NPC. God forbid. No, I didn't play that one. I heard about it.
I guess I'm pretty solid. So you mean to what I think your...
Go for it. Let's do it.
Let's see. Dave Moore, believe you are lawful neutral.
Okay. I don't feel strongly about that one way or another.
As long as you're following the rules, I don't care. I feel like you are probably a wizard.
Mm. Learned in magics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What race? What race would I be?
Half elf.
Yeah. Which, fortunately, they're good in Pathfinder. They're a great racial
choice. They're much better in Pathfinder.
They're not a good choice in 3.5.
Oh, God. They're so awful in 3.5.
Yeah.
And 3.0. They're just awful all around.
Yeah.
What are they, like, stats?
Mm-hmm. Let's do highest stat. Let's do highest stat.
Your highest stat is your intelligence.
Okay.
I feel like your intelligence, wisdom, and charisma are all solid.
Mm.
Intelligence being the highest. Your physical stats feel like your constitution is high. You have a slightly higher than average dex and then an average strength.
Mm. You're very kind in strength. Thank you. Thank you. For anyone who hasn't seen me, you give the impression that I look like a normal human being.
You have one level in barbarian.
I do.
Forget about that. One level.
I don't even think it's, even a level in barbarian. I think it's like a weird, like, racial trait or something. You know how, like, in Pathfinder, there's a feat where you can take a sorcerer's bloodline, even if you're not a sorcerer. I think I've got that, and it's like some kind of rage bloodline.
Furious temper, and right. You can rage once per day.
See, I haven't got to think about this nearly as long as you have, but I do think, and I'm also not good at this. I really don't like putting labels on people, especially friends. I don't like doing it. Like, I can talk all kinds of stuff about Aladdin and Lion King all day long, but when it's a human, I don't know.
You only recently started calling Nikki your wife, not just that buddy you live with.
Yeah.
Hate labels.
I mean, you're a good guy. So I would say you are probably, and I also think you're chaotic good. Mm-hmm. I think you're chaotic by nature, but I think you have a lot of lawful tendencies. But I think at your heart, I think you're chaotic. One thing about you, Tyler, that I think is very lawful tendency of yours is your love of categorizing things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like what we're doing right now. I think this is certainly your wheelhouse where you can like sit down and logically, you know, assign statistics and feats and all that to a person. Mm-hmm. I think you're really good at that.
I could rattle this off for every guest host as well, because I've thought about it that much. So,
but I think at your heart you're chaotic good. And if I had to choose a class, I'd say probably bard, because I honestly think that your charisma is your highest stat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of recent, your strength has really gone up. You've leveled up.
I put my stat points in that.
Yeah. I mean, you've leveled up several times this year, and I think you've been bumping up your strength.
I agree with all the things you've said. And most alignment. What race am I?
Oh, you're a dwarf. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's I didn't say it because I thought it went without saying. I mean, you are the bearded host after all.
That's true. So most tests, online tests I've taken, all tell me I'm a chaotic good bard. Race varies, but yeah. Chaotic good bard is always what I get. It's dwarf. I've thinking about gnome a few times. I don't think I'm short enough to be a gnome.
No. Thanks for that amazing call and question.
It's a good question.
I feel like if I didn't just abruptly end that conversation, that we would just sit here for 20 more minutes and talk about what D&D characters we would be. Because we like D&D that much, Yuki's cousin. Mm.
That, I'm tempted to say that could eventually be a giveaway where it's like, we'll draw three random names.
I know what you're going to say.
And do a D&D game. God. Do a D&D game with three Tadpog listeners.
Can we not do it randomly?
No, that's the way it's got to be.
Can we pick
random?
Can we pick from the listeners that like interact with us regularly?
It's got to be like people we haven't heard from since like the review. It's like Rub Gooch,
right.
Last Gamer 69, and Bloopy3.
Bloopy3 is recent.
That is recent. Must Love Pugs.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So we'll get right on that.
We don't dote on those 5-star reviews or anything.
No.
Jacob York, lawful good.
Yeah.
Sean Miller, neutral good. Because I feel like he goes lawful chaotic. Josh Nance, true neutral with good tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Nance, lawful neutral, mm-hmm. solid, capital L, little N, capital L. David Dykus, lawful neutral. Zach English, chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
Who else am I missing? Who else normally hosts? My wife, neutral good. Used to be lawful good, but living with me, her ethical alignment has slowly changed.
You're like radiation.
Exactly. I'm just killing her.
Uh-huh. Is that it? I think that's all the guesses.
Is that all the guest hosts we've had? Okay.
So there you go. A bonus answer.
Bonus of all the alignments of all the guest hosts.
You got anything else you want to talk about? You want to thank some people?
I do wish to thank some people.
All right.
Who we got? I was trying to think of a would you rather. It's like, what's a good would you rather Dave and I could do just in memory?
Would you rather thank people or not?
My Lord, yeah, we should thank people.
I want to leave that to Lord Mike. I don't want to feel like, because I feel like if we do it, he might not come back.
So he don't even need me anymore.
Yeah, because it's like, you know what happens when you don't call? You fucking do it anyway.
Okay, you're right. You're right. He is a valuable, respected noble. Ted Pog noble.
Oh, yeah.
So Facebook shares Lord Mike, Lord Matt, Lord Dennis, and Nicole.
Lady Nicole?
See, I don't.
She is crazy. She is crazy promoting us on Twitter.
That's true, but we also.
Has she left us a 5-star review?
You know, I don't think she. Yes, she has.
Okay.
She has, actually.
All right. Well, then I think she may have met all the qualifications. Okay.
Do guest hosts, do they get like a different title?
All right. What title would that be? Like, make a kick ass Duke?
Kick ass Duke, Viscount.
Marquis is good.
Marquis Nicole. So for tweets, Leva, Tony, Lord Mike, Marquis Nicole, and Oz Retro Gamer.
Yes, thank you. We're doing well on Twitter. I gave those games away last week, and people started following us. Check that out.
Nice. Kind words. Ashley Shake was telling me he's still. I mean, in Japan, like we said, time treats are very different. He's only at episode 5 over there.
Right.
He still texts me saying how much he loved the show. He really wanted to hear more about other games, but he loves Super Nintendo stuff, mm-hmm. but he really also wanted to hear a lot about the other games we've been playing. So
he is partly responsible for Othership Monday.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
Othership Monday and Original Flavor Wednesday.
Okay, right.
For Eerily Silent, I'm at peace. Okay. I feel at peace.
Good.
I rage at no one for not talking to me.
You what?
I'm not going to rage at anybody for not talking to
me. Okay. All right. You're just really trying to prove that good part of your alignment mm-hmm. this week, I mm-hmm. think. Mm-hmm. You got labeled a chaotic mm-hmm. good, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go easy.
Well, see, let me give you, if anybody's trying to think like, oh, what alignment would I be? All right.
I shouldn't have brought this up.
When you're at the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And you're done unloading from your cart to your car.
Yeah.
What do you do with the cart?
I don't go to the grocery store. Nikki does that.
What would you do if you went to the grocery store?
I barely know what a cart is. Like, why do you think I have a wife?
So all right, I don't gotta buy my own domestic goods.
That's the most misogynistic thing I think I've ever said on the show. Of course, I married her because I love her very much. It's just a bonus that she goes to the grocery stores and I don't.
I love grocery shopping. So
you put the fucking cart back in the fucking cart stall. That's where it belongs.
Yeah, you do it because that's where it belongs. So I think that's lawful.
It's also considerate because you don't want to leave the fucking cart out in the middle of nowhere where the wind might blow and it fucking go and careen into a car.
See, and that's good. So it's the same action that can be taken very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to always think about what's a person's motivations
mm-hmm.
despite what the action actually that they're taking.
Mm.
Alignment's very deep. It's very deep for me.
It's very Catholic. Mm-hmm. It's very Catholic alignment. It doesn't matter what you actually do. It's just what you think.
Thinking about that D&D game, like I guess we could also pick one person and they could do a game with me, you, Jacob. Could pick us and then random guest hosts, and we'll all do a game together. One person gets to, if they're interested in playing D&D mm-hmm. with us, do a one-shot of whatever system.
I barely listen to you because now I'm like just worried someone's going to come at me for that Catholic shit. I was raised Catholic, so I can pretty much fucking say that, okay?
Yeah.
So like, if you would have said it, maybe it would have been a little different story. Mm-hmm. But look, I endured that shit, so I can say whatever I want.
If I can't say anything about the Catholic Church. The Episcopal Church, maybe a little bit, but, yeah, but maybe. Maybe.
Might want to stay away anyway.
Yeah, it's true. That's it. I think I'm good.
Well, Tyler, talk us off. I mean, out. Talk us out.
Just Tyler, get us off. All right, done. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode we'll be talking about. Is it NHL 94?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. The number 59th ranked game, NHL 94.
Oh, man. We've been on this, like, great string of platformers, and now we're just going to go right into a sport. I don't understand.
Maybe.
It's going to be like my nails being torn out.
Yeah, you lowered Mike. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating. There is a slew of prizes. This has been upgraded, not just like a few things. Yeah. There's a slew of prizes.
A virtual menagerie of glittering prizes.
A tadpog dragon's horde of prizes.
Don't worry, guys. We will be back next week. In the meantime, I have 4 options for you. How about that? I got 4 options. You ready for them? Option number 1, go to tadpog.com. Waste a little bit of time there. Look at the show notes. Option number 2, facebook.com/tadpog. Join the conversation there. Really cool people. A lot of the lords and marquees hang out there. Mm. So I'm just saying, if you're looking to get a little credit in the tadpog fiefdom, you may want to check in from time to time, or you're going to be high and dry when the end times come.
We also have Squire Zach. Zach is running errands for everybody.
Well, in Dungeon Keeper Miller. 3rd option, Tyler. You can find us on Twitter. And I am actively trying to be a bigger part of the Twitter sphere, mm-hmm. I believe they call it. That's the official term for it, is the Tweedo world. And
it's like Cool World.
Yeah, it's like Cool World, but I don't know. It's a little bit better than Cool World.
We've got to play that game someday.
Oh, man. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. But you can follow us at tadpog_podcast. Check it out. 4th option. Plenty. We're just all about options here. You can call us and leave us a voicemail. I doubt you'll do as good a job as Yuki's cousin or Lord Mike, but you can try. Mm-hmm. You can try. Mm-hmm. They've set a high bar.
You should take up the challenge and call us.
Yes, please. If you want to do that, you can call us at 270-883-2555. That's the Tadpog hotline. We have operators standing by. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just do it. Doesn't matter. You come home, you're drunk, call us. We'll talk to you. Mm-hmm. Not really. Mm-hmm. We won't actually talk to you. Mm-hmm. But leave us a voicemail and we'll play it on the show and we'll talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And probably make you feel a little self-conscious. But it's totally worth it because you're famous now. Oh. It's weird. We don't have a guest host, so I don't have anyone to ask. But
you can ask me.
We've done that before.
I can ask you.
Ask me. Let's change it up.
Dave.
Yes, Tyler.
Our intro song
is Moves.
Rush. Actually.
Oh, fuck. This is the episode that you cut and you totally changed the theme music. It's Moves. Mm. It's Moves. I'm sure of it.
But by who in Scotland would do such a thing?
Conifer Lane.
Correct.
I loved it when Miller said that. No, it's actually Sycamore Drive. Sycamore Drive, right. Tyler. Yeah. A link to that track, Tyler, could be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Clark the Dendrologist, Sean Miller.
That's a show, I guess.
Yep, that's it.
Google Voice translated this one as, "Hey, Amanda Dog." I just like that. That'll be my next Reddit username. Amanda Dog.